We want to change everyone and make them in our image. It was tantamount to Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler said, "We're the superior race, and everyone needs to be this way, and this is the way we're going to make everyone. And we're going to make them in this image, and if you disagree with us, we're going to exterminate you." And I'm like, guys, this is happening to everyone. I need you to wake up, to understand what's going on. You're talking about 15,000 children being separated at the border. Do you understand that they separate 500,000 children in America annually? This is an adversarial relationship. If CPS comes into your life, you know, you might as well, even though it's on the civil side, you might as well treat it like a criminal case. Keep your mouth quiet, get a lawyer. You're not going to talk yourself out of it. The only way you're going to get out of it is to fight your way out of it. And that's just it. It's designed to take your child.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. I'd like to play the clip from the news of this woman. This is where somebody sent this to me, and this is how I found you.
Thanks so much for joining us here tonight at 7. We begin with a group fighting for reunification of children who they say were legally kidnapped, and that group has now won its first case in court.
It all started when Amanda Weber's 10-month-old son was taken away by Child Protective Services for what it called medical neglect. Our Karen Scullin is in our newsroom tonight, and Karen, this group is kind of hoping their efforts can lead to some changes in state law now.
Absolutely. This is just the beginning for the Family Preservation Foundation, but it was a 4-month battle. Founder Dwight Mitchell says never should have happened. He's fighting for change, and he hopes it starts with the case of Amanda Weber.
Amanda Weber was thrilled the day she got her baby back, but she missed a lot in 4 months.
I'd look at the foster mom and said, "He's walking now?" And she's like, "Yeah." And like, it was so devastating.
It was 120 days of pure hell, at least 6 hearings in front of a judge, and again she was told, no, you are not a fit parent due to medical neglect.
Two pieces of information from two hospitals, from Children's Hospital and from St. Cloud Medical Center, that said her son was okay. Yet still she filed a petition to remove him from the family home.
I wasn't innocent until proven guilty. I was guilty until proven innocent.
It all started in May. Amanda brought Xavion to Children's Hospital for a cough. Doctors determined Xavion was fine and stable. After a long wait for another doctor, Amanda wanted to go home and signed that she was leaving against medical advice. But the next day, Xavion was immediately taken away by CPS for medical neglect. It was the start of a months-long battle with CPS.
He didn't need any medication. There was nothing wrong with him. He just had a cold. And so this started a chain reaction. And when we proved to social services that there was nothing wrong with the child, they still wouldn't relent.
Dwight Mitchell calls this legal kidnapping. It happened to him. It happened to Amanda Weber, and Mitchell says it happens all the time.
It's not unique to Amanda. As a matter of fact, it is the norm. I have another mother who is going through the same situation right now.
Last week, Xavion finally went home. The trial judge ruled that disinformation was used to continue the hold and that the petitioner had failed to prove by clear and convincing evidence that the child is in need of protection.
I'm not against CPS. I'm against CPS in its current form and its laws. The current system is antiquated. It needs to be abolished. The disparity in the system needs to be eliminated.
But it took 120 days, a mother and baby separated for 4 months, for what appears to be only allegations that in the end were proven to be false.
I'm frustrated, I'm angry, and I'm on a mission to help bring about change.
Okay, so what did the judge do? I mean, you really helped her, and this is your first one that you got off the hook, right? Your first case that you won. Is this the first time anybody's won against the government?
I can't say that, but I can tell you this. It's the first case that I know about that has gone to trial in 60 days that has won in Minnesota. And here's what you're going to find. It's what I found scary. And this is why I said I had to prove to people what was going on.
Well, you got to tell us what the judge said, too.
I'm going to tell you exactly what the judge said. But what made me have to prove this is that I went to judiciary and I learned that in the last 5 years, there have been over 37,000 cases that have new cases that have been brought before the court. Social workers are supposed to bring a case before the judge and have a trial where they substantiate their allegations in under 60 days. In the last 5 years, this has been done 435 times. There's only been 435 trials out of 37,000 in the last 5 years that went to trial. Mine is the only one I think that has won. And even though we won, the judge admonished our client as immature because she wouldn't agree to services. And she's like, I'm not going to agree to services that I don't need. He says things would have gotten a lot better.
She was a good mother, right?
She took her baby to the hospital for a cold. And the doctor said the baby was fine. Nothing was wrong with the child. And they brought in all these doctors.
Was she poor?
She was poor. And she had three children. And she was on government assistance. And it was a timing thing. And when I say timing, all things happen for a reason. I just believe that. The Lord probably brought her into our life at this appropriate time because I was trying to tell people what was going on and people wouldn't listen. So I said, okay, I'm going to prove it to you. And she just happened to call me like that day or the next day when I said, I got to do a case. And then she just happened to call and they had just taken her child. I was like, perfect. That's what I need. I need to get the word out to people, and I'll come back to this later on. I can be the most effective if you call me when they immediately take your child. And that's when I can almost always win, you know, not unless you really did something wrong. Like they raided your house and you had 50 pounds of heroin or something like that.
Well, then you don't even want to help them, right? I mean, it's a different story.
I tell people like that I can't help you. I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying to help. What I feel people who are unjustly accused. So she called me. She told me her story. I said, fine. I'm going to take your case. So I was working with her from the day they took her child till I got that child back in 60 days. And if I could work with 90% of the parents like that from like day one till they get your child, I can get their child back in 60 days. You know, because I said, this is an adversarial type relationship. It's the county against us. Let's go. You know, put up your dukes.
Well, and the interesting part is the judge got so angry because does the judge get paid? I mean, what is the deal? Why wouldn't the judge be happy that the child is going back in the mother's care when there's no proof the mother is anything but a good mother?
because the I'm going to find this clip. I need to find this clip and send it to you. The social workers are actually trained by the judiciary on what they need to say and how they need to fill out the forms in order to get the Title IV funding from the government. And they need to get this, get an order from the judge saying the child is in need of protection or services at the first court hearing. If they do that, they automatically get the Title IV funding. So the judges are in on it also. You know, the judges in Minnesota are like, you don't have to substantiate anything. I'll give you 60 days to substantiate the allegations. But I'm finding this child in need of protection services. I'm putting him in foster care. Bingo, federal funding kicks in. So in my humble opinion, the judges are in on this also. They're all drinking coffee out of the same pot. When we
they're getting paid.
They're getting paid. They're getting their salaries. You know, there are good judges. I'm not saying all of them, but they've all drunk the Kool-Aid. They feel if a social worker brings them a case, it's a valid case, child needs to be removed, we're going to listen to whatever that social worker says. In the Amanda Weber case, we, at the very first court hearing, we brought two physician statements, you know, stating that the child was healthy, and this is what the hospital said when the mother left. And the second court hearing, we even provided CPS took the child for an overnight evaluation on the day of removal before they filed their emergency petition. We brought that to the court and we're like, Your Honor, here is the doctor's evaluation from when CPS took the child to the hospital. The judge still wouldn't release the child. Still was trying to get CPS some way to figure out how to keep that child and get the federal funding. When I say that the whole process was bizarre, I thought mine was bizarre, but I proved just how bizarre it is. And I'm literally going to publish every single document. I'm working on it now. I just did a video of Amanda Weber, and that's ready to go along with her case and her documents. But I'm going to be like, here's why the child was taken, here's the petition, and here's every single court document that was filed. And you're going to see yourselves that this was the most bizarre trial or just proceeding, that the whole 60 days was like, no, we're not giving your child back. Why? All the doctors said my child was fine. No, I did not neglect my child. Finally, when the doctor specialist came in at court and said the same thing, the judge had to agree. Our attorney, Bill Mormon, was so flustered at the end of the trial. He actually said to the judge, and I quote, if you don't release this child after this hearing, you better have a very good reason for the appellate court for keeping this child when the state didn't substantiate the allegations of abuse. And the judge's head snapped up and he glared at the attorney, and he actually sanctioned our attorney $1,000, which was overturned on appeal because he was so mad that we won the case. It was like he the judge.
How dare you talk to me that way? I am your superior.
Right.
You're wrong. You're not my superior in ethics. Yeah, it's just crazy. Okay, so what you are going to talk about the history and how this was something that is planned. How did they plan this out? And we know that the boarding schools for the Native American children was part of the deal. It's a whole eugenics thing. I actually think COVID might be tied into some BS that they're doing. There's a lot of evidence and red flags there. But what did you find out as you researched this organization that seems to be on track?
What's fascinating is the system was not created specifically to, in my humble opinion, it wasn't created specifically to bring in a disproportionate amount of minorities. Because when you look at when the system was first started, believe it or not, the majority of the people that were coming into the system were Caucasian. They were poor Caucasians. And they were people that the state felt would be better off with families that could provide. So it was not designed specifically to target Blacks or specifically to target Native Americans. We are a byproduct of how the system was designed. You know, so it was like people who we feel are deserving will help out. People we feel are not deserving, we're going to take their children. Well, by the same people that run social services, that run the police department and everything else, there is a socialization in America. And it is what it is. And that socialization and that caste and that hierarchy is what brings the disproportionality into the system. It's there, but by the grace of God, go I. You know, if it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be where I am.
Well, and you, what you're doing is confirming that the nuclear family, and I'm not into a man and a woman, there's a hierarchy there. I think it's an equal partnership because it is in my family and we did a pretty right. damn good job. And that's how I think it should be. So there's nothing wrong with that. A nuclear family where you have a loving parents that can raise children that you love and you nurture them. Now, the problem with, because we talked about Black Lives Matter, and I have no problem, Black Lives do matter. I mean, come on. The statement Black Lives Matter is great, but the organization Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization that wants to break down the nuclear family. So what the hell is that? And how does that have anything to do with building up families? It seems like it's another organization that's using a group of people to implement a really, really bad agenda that is absolutely wrong for our community. And it seems like everything seems to always turn itself and use people for the opposite of what they're trying to get accomplished.
I feel the Black Lives Matter movement has been hijacked at this point. And when I say hijacked, there are so many different people that are putting spins. Like the head of the Black Lives Matter in New York is saying something different than the Black Lives Matter in California. The three women that theoretically started this. I'm like, how can you theoretically start something that Dr. Martin Luther King and people well before Harriet Tubman, you didn't start something new. You coined a phrase. And now that phrase is being hijacked by people with ulterior motives.
Exactly. You know, yep.
What we want is something that's all inclusive. We want justice and equality. We want to be treated the same way. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were coming from the gun range, and I said, "Oh, let me lock my case and put it in the trunk of my car." And he's like, "Oh, you don't have to do that." And I'm like, "Bro, I'm black.
You do.
You're white. I'm telling you, they'll let you go. They are looking for anything. If I get stopped, they're looking for anything." I said, "I won't get treated the same way." I remember Dave Chappelle.
That's
on his
too bad.
Show made that joke about they were, you know, him and his Caucasian friend were doing marijuana. His Caucasian friend was driving, and the police officer like let him off. And he said, "If that had been me, I'd be in jail." So he was just, you know, we just want something to be all inclusive. We want to be treated equally. I'm like, if you think that Black people or Natives or Hispanic or Mexican or anyone else doesn't love their children, doesn't want to take care of their family, all we want is the opportunity to succeed. It's the same thing that everyone wants. I've been to 108 countries, and I'm here to tell you, everybody is the same all over the world. We want to have a family. We want to have children. Well, not everyone wants to have children. But if we do have children, we want to be able to provide for our family. We want to have good jobs. We don't want to be excluded because of some biasness. And the reason we're having what people call Black Lives Matter is because you have separated the nucleus. You have literally, intentionally, and by law, you have taken 2.7 million, you know, African-American male, and you put them in jail. You are warehousing Black people, and you can't put it any other way. I can't sugarcoat it. And you're taking the single parent mother, you know, both Native and African-American, and now you're attacking them, and you're taking their child. So you're sitting here and you're ripping apart the very bare bones essence of our culture. You don't want to
anybody's culture, anybody's culture. Right, any family's
culture. But that's where I was just addressing the Black Lives Matter. I'm not talking about social services overall. I'm talking about the two cultures that are being impacted the most, where I feel we are systematically being destroyed. And it's like in a subtle way.
Well, and the people I've talked to say they find a real issue, because this is a real issue, and then you use that issue to do something else. That's the strategy.
Correct.
And so they're using a real issue, which is the breakdown of the family. It's happening everywhere. It's not just the Black family. It's every poor. It's economic stat. You know, the wealthier you are, the less likely your family is going to be broken down.
Correct.
And then they're using it to destabilize the country and to bring in communism. What the hell is that? And the thing is that a lot of people, and you look at our mass media, and our mass media is completely snowed. I mean, they're completely controlled, and they're fueling this anger. And so the Black people are just being used again. And it's so disturbing because, you know, like what we want is a strong, healthy family and strong, healthy people and equal opportunity. And like in California, they're trying to get rid of, and I think you're aware of this, they're trying to get rid of the Equal Rights Act.
I heard that and I was just stunned. I was just like, hogwash. What are you guys talking about? I don't understand this.
Well, and so that's why I love what you're doing, because you're coming at it and saying, okay, this is all BS. Let's just solve this problem. I don't want to look at it from a left-right paradigm. I don't want to look at it from a Black. I just want to solve what's going on. If you happen to be a white and you get stuck into this crappy system, I'm going to help you too. It's because it's a crappy system that needs to get fixed. And how far are you from getting to the Supreme Court? And talk about that process.
Okay, well, we have until the middle of October to file our petition to the Supreme Court. And I don't know if that'll be extended. Things have been shifting as it relates to COVID and courts and, you know, virtual courts. I mean, when we had our oral argument for the Eighth Circuit, that was in March. And so, you know, after, I think it was the 10th or the 11th, on the 16th, that's when everything locked down nationally, pretty much as far as air travel and all of the stay-at-home orders and things of that nature. So we have until October. And what we are actually petitioning for, the Eighth Circuit, there was no judicial review. When we received the 16-page opinion, we didn't know what to make about it. When I said didn't know what to make about it, we're like, wait a minute, we gave you a 141-page complaint with 24 causes of action, 24 sections of things that were done over the course of 24 months, the unconstitutionality of the laws. We broke all the laws out. We said we're suing on behalf of our association. These laws are unconstitutional, and they're stopping parents from effectively raising their children, and you're unconstitutionally taking children away from the parents when there's been no harm to the child whatsoever. And so these parental rights are basic. They've been woven in our fabric of America. And when the Eighth Circuit came back and gave us this 16-page appeal, we were like, well, what's this? I said, you didn't talk about anything. There's 24 claims, 141 pages. They only spoke about four things. And literally, they just were like, okay, we agree with what the district court said. And we're like, how can you agree? We were so taken back that we asked for something. It's a special term. It's called an inbox. It's for a full review of the entire Eighth Circuit. We're like, this ruling is so skewed, so incorrect, that we want the whole panel to review it. We went back and we said, out of the 24 topics, you only spoke about four just to affirm the lower court's ruling. You didn't speak about all the other things that we said were wrong. On top of that, everything that you did say was incorrect and used the incorrect case law. We pointed all of that out. And we're like, you gave immunity to the county. The county can't get immunity. So, I mean, it did so many things wrong that we said, we need the whole panel to hear this. So the panel had to vote, and the chief judge wrote back saying, we're not going to do this en banc review that you're requesting. You know, you need to take this upstairs to the Supreme Court. And so one of the things that most people don't realize is that we are arguing, it's a Supreme Court case law called Troxell versus Granville. And it's talking about parental rights and how you have to apply strict scrutiny, and you have to examine exactly what's being done, what CPS is doing, before you like dismiss a case. You just can't dismiss a case. You know, we're talking about parental rights, taking children away from their parents, and you have to use what's known as strict scrutiny. The Eighth Circuit came back and said, no, we're not going to use that case law, which was from the U.S. Supreme Court in 2000. We're going to pick an older case law dealing with police that says the social worker has to do something that shocks the conscience. And we're like, what, you know, shock the conscience? What's that? Well, they have to do something like, you know, give the child drugs or sexually assault a child or, you know, something of that nature, something bizarre that has to be like shocking, kill a child. Then we'll look at the case to say the social worker did something wrong. Other than that, social worker can do whatever the social worker wants and get qualified immunity. And we're saying, no, that's wrong. That's going against the Supreme Court case law and Troxell. And so that's what we're arguing before the Supreme Court. And the Eighth Circuit also came back and said our association didn't have standing to sue. And we're like, how do we not have standing to sue? I said, you know, we have, at the time, we have 4,000 members, although we have 11,000 now. You know, when we started the case two and a half years ago, we had about 4,000 members. And so we said, we had 41 people sign declarations in our case that were members that said, this is happening to us. Here's how our rights are being violated unconstitutionally. Amanda Weber was one of the people that signed on as one of the parents in our association. We took her case. We won the case. And the Eighth Circuit is coming back and saying, oh, you don't have a real association. We're like, what are you talking about? We're incorporated. We're a 501c3. We're tax exempt. We're just like the NAACP and ACLU and anyone else who sues on behalf of their association. So that's something else we're taking to the Supreme Court. So these two things are our two key issues. It's like you're not using the Supreme Court's jurisprudence, and you're not letting us sue on behalf of the association, which, you know, no one else has done. I'm the only person that I know right now that has taken us, our association, and saying we're filing a federal lawsuit saying that Minnesota is violating our constitutional rights, and here's why, and here's the statute, and here's what they're doing, and they're taking our children away from us unconstitutionally and traumatizing them. And so I'm going at this from a legal way. Almost everything I do is legally. I'm like, well, this is the legal construct, and so I have to try and fight it within the legal construct. And so now what I'm really trying to do is get people to hear. I'm trying to get the word out. A lot of people know about what's going on. We're about to put out a press release about going to the Supreme Court, and we need to get the companies. I need like Nike and Adidas and Apple and Google. And we're contacting all of these companies, and we're telling them all, here's what's going on. This is very important. We need everyone to be engaged. I'm like, we're trying to stop the 500,000 children that are being removed from their families across the United States every year. This is an American issue. It's horrific in Minnesota because they don't have to substantiate any of the allegations, but they're taking 500,000 children annually. And I think with even more, that's what they're taking in. They're investigating millions. And I don't have the study, the name of the study in front of me. It's on my website. But by the time a child is 18, 4 out of 5 children have had some dealing or investigation by CPS based upon statistics. And I have those stickers on my website, familypreservationfoundation.org. I have statistics for everything on my website. So don't listen to anything I say. Just go look at my website and go look at the stats and everything. I have links to everything I say. Everything I say, it's backed by state statutes, by case law. I'm not just speaking off the cuff like so many people do.
Well, and you guys have a super lawyer, if you will, on your team, right? That's gone to the Supreme Court and won multiple times.
Yes, Eric Cardell is a fantastic lawyer. We just got the Thomas More Society. The Thomas More Society is another large organization. They're headquartered in Chicago. They signed on as co-counsel also. They've been at the Supreme Court multiple times.
Thomas More is taking on the religious liberty claims, too.
That is correct. So they're very big on it.
They're fighting for the churches, which I love. Yeah.
So they're excellent. They're fighting for it. And here's what I don't want people to get caught up in. And I tell everyone that because I was talking to the Human Rights Committee and civilliberties.org. And I've made over 200 phone calls so far concerning our case. And I'm like, people, this is not a Christian issue. This is not, please, because HRC, the minute I say, well, Thomas More is co-counsel, they were like, oh, I'm like, listen, I understand your feeling.
No. Yeah, no. I see what you're saying. They're just fighting for liberties and what's right under the Constitution and what people should have, fighting for your rights.
Correct. And I'm trying to get everyone to understand this is a we problem. I said, if I can get this resolved, it will resolve everything. It will resolve the disparity. It will resolve the children being taken away unconstitutionally. I mean, I look at the Family First Act that was passed 2 years ago. I look at the second Family First Act that was just passed a few months ago. People talk about things not being done. Well, I tell you this. I said that Family First Act that Trump approved 2 years ago that still hasn't taken effect in Minnesota because they still are saying we're still trying to figure out how to implement it. Well, the Family First Act is changing the model. It's a paradigm shift. It's like we're going to pay you federal money for keeping that child at home and providing services for that child at home and not from taking that child out of home and putting that child in foster care. This is the first time in 24 years that any president has done anything relating to child protection services and CPS. I mean, the Clintons are the ones who did this, and everybody likes who they like. Some people like Hillary, some like Bill. I do not like the Clintons, and I look at the things they did.
They created a lot of this.
They created a lot of this problem. They created all of this, and I sit here, and I was listening to an interview with Bill Clinton, and I will give him this much credit. Before I heard this interview, I really didn't like him, but after I heard the interview, and he actually did a mea culpa. He said if he had any idea that signing that minimum sentencing act would have done what it had done to the minority community and the war on drugs and, all of these minorities being put in jail, he said, I would have never signed it. He said, out of my entire legacy, that's one of the things I'm ashamed of. And when he said that, I was just like, wow.
But do you believe him? Because if you look at what the Clinton Foundation did to the Haitians, I I have a 6 hours worth of video with Ezeli Danto, which was the first elect or was the lawyer for the first elected, democratically elected president in Haiti. And she is an activist in Haiti. And she went through and detailed what the Clinton Foundation did and how they abused those people and the 13 or 16 billion, I don't remember, was given after that earthquake and how it was used. And I'm telling you, I don't know how anyone can like the Clintons. After I heard that and what they did to those Haitians, if somebody still likes them, they need to listen to that show. And it's with Ezeli Danto. And she is she's a fighter for the Haitians. She's a black woman. But what they did down there to those kids and to those people, there's no excuse. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I didn't say I was, you know, pro Clinton. I was just saying,
no, I know.
I was surprised he didn't be a COPA.
I know,
and you're like, your question to me was, do I believe him? I'm like, no. I said, I think that our current structure, our current political structure, is the same serpent, and I'll call a cow a cow. That serpent has two wings. You got the Democratic Party on this side, and you have the Republican Party on this side.
I agree.
Same
with
that. Serpent, you know. Each wing is trying to tell the other wing, I'm better than you. And they're both flapping that serpent forward at the same time. But I'm not even trying to bring politics into it. I'm sitting here saying, this is really beyond politics. I really don't want to talk politics. You know what I'm saying? I want to help children.
I agree with you. Yep. Don't you think Trump is the first president that seems like he actually is trying to make a difference on these basic things?
He is the only president that I've seen that has done anything in the last 24 years. When he passed his Family First Act, you know, through an executive order, because he couldn't get Congress to do anything. So, you know, the House wouldn't do anything and the Senate hadn't done anything for 24 years. And then when he came out with his second Family First Act 2 months ago, dealing with foster care, I'm like, no one has even addressed this. And people have been crying about this for years. So Trump is the only president that has done anything to try and fix, you know, social services, CPS, DHS, the foster care system, since the Clintons messed it up. I mean, the Clintons called themselves, well, we're going to give you an incentive.
What, can't you see that's why so many people that are deep state and are, they just did a big op-ed in the Wall Street Journal of all these Republican neocons and warmongers that have switched from the Republican to supporting Biden because because Trump is weird. I mean, he doesn't fly. He's not
really
a side. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why he's resonating with people. People don't want war. They want things fixed. They want people to be looked at as people. They don't want this. They don't want left, right. They just want you to do what's right. Get beyond all the politics and care about people.
What's interesting is I thought New Jersey has a new governor, Governor Murphy. And I was under the impression that he was going to be so different. He was not a politician. He's a billionaire. He ran as a Democrat, saying I want to fix New Jersey, and so he's been in it now for, you know, 2.5 years, and I've sort of sat back and I cocked my head sideways, and I was like, wow. I said, is it just politics in general? Is it when you get into the office, it makes you a certain way? I don't know, but he's doing no better job than anyone else that's been in office, you know?
Well, you're dealing with the swamp and you're dealing with blackmail and you're dealing with some serious creatures that have an invested interest in keeping it the way it is. And so anybody that seriously wants to change things really is up against a wall. And so You saw that, the Family First Act, he had to do an executive order to get something done that actually helps people.
Correct.
And it's just, it is what it is. So how can people get hold of you? Because I think it's really important what you're doing and helping families. I get so many messages over the years that CPS is messed up. And I mean, I've even heard people are taking politicians' kids just to be able to blackmail them. I had a person from California who was really into it, who told me about multiple cases where they've taken politician kids to blackmail them so that they would do what they want them to. It is a crazy organization. So every state has some horrible stories that they can share. So what you're doing and going up to the Supreme Court level is phenomenal. So how can people get hold of you, and how can they help and give us your
speech? I will. You know, it's funny you should talk about a politician. I can't mention name because I promised him I would not. But there is a member of the legislature in Minnesota that CPS came after for something that was so idiotic. You know, it was just bizarre. But when I say bizarre, you know, he got out of it, and you know, there were no charges filed. But they came to his house and started investigating him simply because the child was in a swing in the backyard. The neighbor called CPS. The mother was in the garden, like 10 feet away. The neighbor didn't see the mother, thought the mother had left the child unattended in the backyard, and called CPS on one of the Minnesota legislatures. And so, you know, the legislature actually told his wife, get in the car, put the children in the car, and go to Wisconsin, and I'll call you when everything is okay. This is a legislator who knows how bad things are, told his wife, and he's a legislator, leave the state now, immediately, and don't come back till I tell you to. And so that told me that he understands how terrible Minnesota CPS is. And, you know, he had to finally prove, he says, here's the swing, here's the garden, here's what, he ain't had to walk CPS. Oh, okay, it was a misunderstanding. But it's people calling on other people. And so we're trying to help those people. So to answer your question succinctly, the name of our organization is Family Preservation Foundation. And our website is the same. familypreservationfoundation.org, all together, all lowercase, .org. On our website, at the very top, on the top menu, there is a tab called Education. And I tell everyone, please look at the Education tab, because that's where you're going to get the most information. I mean, we have about us, you know, who's involved, the team, what we're trying to do. So we have our mission statement and everything else. But most of the people need help. And so I put this together to try and give them that help. So one of the very first things I want everyone to look at is my 35 key tips for defending yourself against CPS. So that, you know, 35 key tips video is like the first one. And I have a PDF handout also. And I talk about, here's what you do if CPS calls your house. You know, here's what you do if they're on your front porch. Then I go into...
And this works for all across the country?
All across the country. Then I talk about knowing your rights. I talk about your parental rights. Then I talk about enforcing your rights. And then I broke it down into training units. And I have 11 separate training units. Each one is between 35 and 40 minutes long. And I know it's a little long. And I tell people, maybe you should do it in 10 or 15 minute increments. I have a PDF handout it's all free. Just download the PDF and then follow along in the PDF and then mark it. And if you want to go cook and come back later on when the kids are in bed or whatever, do it that way. Break it up. The new ones I'm putting out at smaller measures, like 5 to 10 minutes. So, you know, here's how to ask for discovery, and here's how, you know, this works, and, you know, different sections of the timeline. So, almost every state does things the same way in the first 30 days, and definitely the first 60. Almost all of them have to have a trial. So I talk about if they show up at your house, if they take your kids, the emergency removal hearing, what happens after that, And so I lay out everything from beginning to end and generally tell people what to do. Now I'm going back and I'm saying, okay, here's two examples. So I'm using the Amanda Weber case as a detailed step-by-step example of every document that we filed. Here's our document, here's a county document. So you could look at both sides to understand how the case was argued and how it was how we won. I'm going to put how I won my case, which I haven't done, but I'm going to literally put on there the motions that I filed, and I'm going to say, here's the first motion I filed, here's the memorandum, here's what happened, and here's how I got my kid back in 60 days from the time I started representing myself pro se. You know, every case is different, but the things I'm telling you span every single case across the United States. And I'm trying to push this out. You know, it's free. No one else that I know of is giving out this free information. The lawyers want to get paid. I can understand that. That's their job. And that's part of the reason we're having the issue we're having is because like a doctor, you know, a patient cured is a patient lost. Same thing with a lawyer. You know, if I win the case quickly, if I get it dismissed, well, that's no more money for me. And I think I'm like, that is so short-sighted. I'm like, guys, they're taking 37,000 children, 7,000 children a year. I'm like, there are more than enough children to go around. Get these cases dismissed and go to the next one. Don't try and milk these parents, you know?
Be good. You'll get more work. Just be good at what you do and you'll have a flood of work.
I can't tell you how many calls we get for lawyers.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You know, we get tons and tons. Well, people want lawyers. They can't find lawyers because, I use Minnesota as an example. Out of the 37,000 cases, only 16,000 got assigned public defenders. The rest had to fend for themselves. Over judiciary said that over 50% of the people went through the entire process from removal to TPR or reunification, ever to without legal representation. So we're saying, okay, 37,000 people, half of those people had no representation and couldn't find a lawyer.
There's a market.
You know?
Yeah, there's a market here and you can help these people. Well, thank you so much for coming by and for telling us the story and for everything you're doing to help people. I can't tell you how many emails I get on this topic. So thank you so much for this. And I really appreciate it.
Point them to the website, you know, and try and get everyone engaged. I mean, as I said, we're reaching out to Google, to Nike, to everyone. And we're saying this is a human rights issue. It's a social issue. I said that needs to be addressed. I said it's happening all across the United States. I said, you're talking about 15,000 kids at the border when they're taking 500,000 here in America the same way. And no one's talking about it. I need everyone to get on board.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.